on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. Afternoons with Helen Shield.
When she's not working on a POMS-resistant oyster as a marine scientist, the Australian Cinematographers Society is celebrating her documentary work in a showcase, Lev Hurtle. Do people realise what they're getting in a wedding videographer when they hire somebody who is being featured by the Australian Cinematographers Society?
I don't think so. Yeah. It's something that's really interesting because in the past, a lot of wedding videography was one camera, one guy capturing everything, and it was more like as it was. It wasn't really edited in a short film. So the process is different now, and so I'll be talking a little bit more about that and how change in technology really facilitates that.
And how is it a science for you?
Growing up, I always loved art, and I love dancing, I like painting, like everything. Also, I sort of went down the path of science because I was just a naturally curious person. And I found that the two were really the same thing. The scientific method and the creative method or process is really the same thing because you ask a question and you want to answer that question. For example, I want to know, do rabbits eat cabbage? For example, as a scientist, that's a terrible example. Or as a cinematographer, I wanted to know how do I get this shot in a night scene? So you kind of ask these questions. It's a systematic way of learning how to get the answer to that question. And that ends up being a format for storytelling, and that turns into a narrative. So I saw so many parallels between the two, and I thought to myself, why is it so separate? And why is the education system putting it into separate boxes? Because in the end, like, you look at Leonardo da Vinci, you look at Einstein, you look at, you know, Michelangelo, and those guys were innovators because they didn't put themselves in a box. So I think, you know, we are coming back to that, but it's really exciting to do a bit of both.
Lever, where did the love of the ocean come in?
Oh, well, when I first, obviously I grew up in Tasmania, so being surrounded by ocean was, you know, a daily thing, and I grew up next to the beach. But I actually started out wanting to do neuroscience until I came to a lecture with this lovely man called Gustav Hallegraaff. He's the head of marine science UTAS in Hobart. And he gave this amazing lecture, and it was one of my lectures that I had when I was doing medical research. And he was talking about how amazing were, like, algae, these little microscopic species that were creating the atmosphere and this biosphere that we lived in. And the story grabbed me, and I was like, wow, this is a story of us. This is a story of our evolution. And I was just in awe and so grateful. So that kind of led me down that path, and I changed my degree and became a marine scientist.
And then what are you working on with oysters at the moment?
Yes, so I'm doing that at the moment, and that's been really fun. So my position is I'm a research officer, and I work with basically, where I work, it's called Australian Seafood Industries, and that company is all about creating a POMS-resistant oyster. And POMS is a disease that's come through and wiped out all these oysters here in lovely Tasmania. And we're selectively breeding an oyster or oysters to stop that from happening in the future. So part of my role is to facilitate those experiments and to make sure that everything is going according to plan. And we collaborate with CSIRO and IMS. So I get to interact with so many people, which is just beautiful.
Lev Hurtle with you on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania for your afternoon, ahead of a special screening tonight, which is celebrating her work and that of Frederique Olivier as well. And they're a very prestigious mob, the ACS. And as far as Tasmanian residency goes, now, when did you first move here?
I moved here in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I was about 1.5 years old. So I was born in Germany, and my parents migrated out to Tassie. So, yep, it's a random story, but basically she was one of 10 children, and most of them lived in Australia, and they applied for different visas. They just didn't want to stay in Germany. Mm-hmm. They just felt like they wanted to change, and then they came to Australia. Australia accepted them and just been here ever since.
And where had they met?
Well, my mum's Iranian and my father's German, So during the revolution in the 70s in Iran with the Shah of Iran, my mum family left just before that happened. And so, and I'm glad they did because just thereafter, a lot of stuff went down. And so they all migrated to Germany, and my mother and father actually met in Germany, and it's a cute story. And and they just fell in love and sort of from there on sort of moved over to Tasmania.
Did you grow up hearing some remarkable stories about cultural revolution in Iran and then the wall coming down in Berlin?
Yeah.
Your parents were kind of there for both of them, early days of both.
Yeah, it's really amazing, actually, like just this idea of them really being global citizens in the sense that the world is so small and all these things that happened was just incredible, which again comes back to this idea that I guess that's why I like storytelling, because that's what I heard growing up all the time from both sides. And like German culture is very different from Persian culture, which is Iranian culture, and they call themselves Persian. Sounds more romantic, apparently. But
come on, it really does.
Like the cats, yeah. You know, it just conjures up this cute image.
Look, I think more great empires in history, but cats as well.
Yeah,
now that
of
you
course,
mention it, I will
course.
Never be able to unhear that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And to bring all of that to somebody's wedding video,
right?
That's what I mean about. Do people realise what they're getting when they take you on to make their wedding video?
No, I guess not. I mean, I think for me, the work speaks for itself. Mm. So I'm hoping that when they see all the videos that I have on my website, they see that and they resonate with that and they go, I want that. Because what she sees is what I want her to see on my wedding day. And so I can honour that and I can really sort of hone in their uniqueness. Mm. Because let's face it, all weddings are quite similar. So I try to, in every instance, create a whole new thing. I don't have a template. I just sort of connect and empathize. I don't know how to describe it. It's just a process that I have.
Mm. And you make a real effort to bring the landscape into it and these gorgeous places around Tasmania, and that becomes essentially a character in the wedding. And you mentioned that you're available for destination weddings. Have people shipped you over to anywhere fascinating yet?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to say I'm really lucky to live in Tasmania because we have such a beautiful epic landscape. There's nowhere else that I've been that you can be near a mountain, a beach, a waterfall, and everything all at the same time in 10 minutes. Mm. So I love to celebrate that. I really like to showcase Tasmania when I can. And second of all, yeah, in terms of destination weddings, the furthest would have been like a South Australia wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So haven't done any international gigs as yet. But
yet.
Challenge accepted.
<Yeah. laughs>